Rainmaker FM.
This podcast is brought to you by copyblogger.com. Words that work. Build your online authority with powerfully effective content marketing. Get superior content marketing education so you can build a remarkable online presence. Head over to copyblogger.com to learn more. That's copyblogger.com. Hello there. It is so good to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone, and I'm a co-founder and the chief content officer for Copyblogger Media. I share additional writing as well as a complete archived podcast at Remarkable Communication. So this year I have gotten back into doing a little bit of client work, which has been interesting. I haven't had bandwidth for that for a long time. And one of the things that I'm constantly talking about with people is developing a content strategy, an actual documented content strategy, because the studies are really clear that writing it down, documenting it, putting it on paper is really associated with getting good ROI from content marketing, which can be tricky. And in my conversations, I am finding that people feel about documented content strategy a little bit like the way they feel about buying socks. You know, they need to do it. They know they need to do it. But it's really something that is not number one on their priority list, nor is it number one on their enjoyable things to do with my time list. So as often as not, when I have some, you know, the same question comes up kind of again and again, which is, I know I need that, but what is it exactly? I typically sit down and write a post for it about Copyblogger. I figure other people could use that information. And I wanted to record a podcast for you today with the same recommendations. And these are just recommendations for 10 elements that, in my observation and my experience, are part of a smart, solid content marketing strategy, because it makes it a little bit easier to put one together when you know what it is you're supposed to be doing. So 10 is a lot of things, so let's dive right in. Starting with, this is every, you know, we say it all the time, we're certainly not the only ones, and yet a lot of people skip it, which is really to explore who it is that you want to speak to with the content and with the business that you're creating. I think that one reason people often avoid this is you can really go down a rabbit hole. You can spend, you know, months or years really understanding your audience and who you're talking to. So that's obviously going to be difficult to justify from a business perspective. I'm always on the lookout for good ways that we can get a really good deep understanding efficiently without spending necessarily, you know, the next 6 months understanding who this person is that we're talking to. So the gold standard really is interviews. Interviews with people who are potential customers and interviews with people who are happy customers. You know, the people who do move forward with you and they get a lot out of working with you. Another really interesting one, if you can swing it, that I have seen in my career is to interview the people who buy and interview the people who do not buy and see if you can spot the differences in values. What is it that makes the difference between somebody who looked like a good prospect on paper, but they didn't pull the trigger, versus that person who did go on to make a purchase? And just uncovering what is it about their personality that makes them tick. So when I was leading content development for a company that produced very high-end vacation product packages, we found out that the people who did not end up converting had a different relationship to their wealth than the people who did. And, you know, you only find this out by really interviewing somebody closely and really digging deep into what makes them tick. So that's kind of the gold standard. That can also be a little intimidating. So let me talk about some easier ways to make a really strong start. Our good friends over at Copy Hackers have written articles about review mining And that is looking through reviews for products, books, anything related to your topic. It doesn't have to be what you do, but it has to be related to your topic. And looking for that language. What kinds of language are people using about the problems and about the solutions that they find effective? How do they phrase it? Another quite fabulous resource are social media groups, Facebook groups, and other groups. Just keep in mind that this exercise is about listening and not about pitching. So if you go into groups and, you know, you just make a lot of noise about being a business owner and you start coaching everybody to help them with their problem, you will get kicked out. It's really about becoming more attuned to people and listening and empathizing and not about pitching. At this point, this is really a listening exercise. And I published a podcast recently about becoming the chief empathy officer of your organization that has more ideas about how to make that happen. One of the things that you are looking for in this customer research, this audience research, is to start to move toward a big idea. So not necessarily a classic advertising big idea, which is, you know, think different from Apple or just do it from Nike, but just a really key benefit-rich concept about how you're different and how you help. And in my copy blogger post on this topic, I came up with a quote from Mark Morgan Ford over on the Early to Rise blog, and he says a big idea is an idea that is instantly comprehended as important, exciting, and beneficial. And he goes on to say that it also leads to an inevitable conclusion, and that conclusion makes it easy to sell your product. So, you know, ad agencies spend months of time coming up with things like think different. It was a great, you know, it was a great idea, but that's not necessarily what you and I have bandwidth for. But if you can come up with important, exciting, and beneficial as an idea for your company, that's gonna fit the bill. And in fact, one of the benefits of content marketing is that you sustain audience attention over time, you build a relationship over time, so you don't necessarily have to come up with a million-dollar ad idea. You have to come up with just a solid expression of what you have to offer the people you help. Okay, some more elements of a good content marketing strategy. Identify some of your supporting ideas, the supporting big ideas or big topics. We call these cornerstone topics at Copyblogger, and they're the big things that you write about. Robert Bruce and I talked about that a few weeks back when he talked about the most important decision you'll ever make for your business. What are the big topics that you talk about in your content, and how do those topics map onto the customer having success, the customer becoming successful, and using your business as a partner to get the things they want? Now, the next thing that I like to do when I'm putting a content strategy together, and this helps offset the socks factor because this part is a little bit more enticing, which is to uncover the paths to purchase. So one of the ways that content marketing has evolved from more classic digital marketing and before that classic direct response marketing is that customers come to us in different ways. And I'm going to talk in a few minutes about funnels. You know, there used to be this idea that you buy traffic, you put that traffic through a defined sequence of steps, and then presto bingo, you end up with business, you end up with revenue for your company. Today, it's really more about finding out just how people are finding you and what are the steps that they're following. But those steps can vary a lot from person to person. So for example, a very common path to purchase might be somebody, you know, sees a blog post on social media, or maybe they saw it because it was boosted with some social media advertising. That goes to an opt-in for a nurturing email sequence. And then that goes to an offer made with a sales page. So you want to observe, it's as much a process of observation as it is of designing. You observe how people find you, and then you think about ways you can make that path a little smoother. So the fifth element is to start to look at specific thoughts on turning those cornerstone ideas into strategic content. You know, would a manifesto be a good piece of content? Would an email nurturing sequence be a good idea? you know, an ebook. So it's not, it's one thing to have the key themes running through your site, and that's important, but you also need to make sure that you've architected it a little bit. You've expressed your themes in specific, easy to consume content. And a lot of times it's just a question of spending some time creating really evergreen and really useful content around those cornerstone themes. The sixth thing that I recommend you look at when you are putting your content strategy together is, what are the different purposes for the content that you create? And we have quite a bit of material on this at Copyblogger. So different pieces of content often have different roles to play. They usually have different roles to play. So some kinds of content are really good at capturing audience attention, you know, just standing out in the crowd. A lot of content exists to educate people who have found you, but now they need to know what, you know, what do they need to do and know and believe to move forward. And then there's content that exists to really take an action. This is what we tend to call conversion content. That's the, you know, conversion email sequence, the sales page, that kind of thing. So in the old days of digital marketing and direct marketing, you had to kind of do that in one shot or a very tight sequence. Today, you know, a more modern approach, it is easier to build and just more realistic in terms of the content environment, is you create multiple points where people can come in. And it's a bit more like a pachinko machine, if you've ever seen one, where the customer starts at the top and they kind of wiggle their way to the goal, but every single little bead in the machine takes a slightly different path. Now, once you have kind of sketched all of these out, it's time to really think about, what are your sequences? What are your funnels? And that word funnel, some people kind of wince because it does seem very much like we talked about before, you know, buy traffic, put them through this rigid sequence, and presto chango, there's money. And the rigidity, I can see, you know, people having a reaction to, but there is really a place for a well-defined content sequence that leads to opportunities for conversion. And that's all a funnel or a sequence really needs to be. So when we started looking at how people do find us and can find us, we're going to codify a few of those ways and just make them very smooth, very easy, make them very safe. It's a little bit like grooming a hiking trail. You know, you sort of take a trail that's already naturally there and you make it smoother and easier and more obvious so that people follow it. A reality of who we are in the, you know, early part of the 21st century is, we're so busy and it is so much work and time and attention to create content. So part of your strategy, you really want to uncover opportunities for repurposing. So once you've got a solid piece of writing or audio or video, then you really want to think about, how can I repurpose this into additional high quality pieces? It's easier to take one good thing and make another good thing out of it than it is to make 10 things that are kind of crappy and takes a lot of time and none of them really has impact. Number 9 on my list, and again, if you want like the whole numbered list and, you know, additional links and all of that, I will give you a link on copyblogger.fm to the blog post that this episode is roughly based on, and you can get lots more ideas and specifics and links. But the next element, and I see this as a missing element in a lot of existing strategies and a lot of the work that people put together, is to craft a smooth transition between the content environment on your site, which tends to have fairly minimal pitching or offers, and the conversion copy that's going to make the sale. And I have seen again and again on Copyblogger, at Rainmaker, at Remarkable Communication, in my client work, that the more congruent those two things are, your content and your conversion, the better results that you see, and the better relationship you keep with your audience, so that you can continue to make additional relevant offers to them and they still think you're a good person and they still recommend you. And that is one reason why on this podcast and on the Copyblogger blog, I have really been talking more about content marketers, those of us who are podcasters, bloggers, video producers, learning more about the whole persuasion path, not shying away from the sales page, not shying away from a conversion funnel, Because when you bring your skills as a content marketer to those conversion elements, you create an environment that feels safe, that feels appealing for your audience, and it works better. It converts better. And again, over, 15 years now of kind of watching this stuff work, I've seen it again and again. And the final aspect of your content marketing strategy, I buy courses and I go through them and I take lots of notes and I fill in the worksheets. Lots of systems out there. We have systems. It's really important that you choose marketing education that gives you room to make it your own, to serve your unique combination of topic and business model and just business owner, who you are and who your audience is. Because, we have thousands, probably tens of thousands at this point of customers. And I've seen not infrequently 10 different businesses in the same topic, particularly a big topic like fitness or, marketing. 10 different businesses in the same topic can take 10 different content approaches. And every one of those has the potential to be successful. So rather than trying to take somebody else's rigid system and shoehorn yourself in, I would really invite you to look around at the education you've already bought, the education you consume, the copy blogger blog, this podcast, things like that, and really think about how to make it your own. And if you do bring somebody on to help out, make sure that person is not necessarily putting you through a cookie cutter process, but instead is taking your input, right? Working with you to make sure that it feels right for you, who you are and what your goals are. Those old money getting systems, customer getting systems, those traditional, internet marketing types would use getting because money earning systems sounded like work. It's kind of hilarious. So those systems, a lot of them might have something to teach you that could be very valuable. And I tease them a little, but I'm not putting them down. But you always have to be able to bring it back to your who, starting at the beginning, right? Who do you serve and how do you serve them? And who are you to help them get the transformation that they look for? So you keep coming back to the specifics, and that's where you'll find, paired with some good, solid strategy, that's where you're going to find the success is going to lie for you. So there you go. 10 elements of good content marketing strategy in a little under 20 minutes. I hope these are helpful. If you would like to get the complete show archive for Copyblogger FM, you just point your browser to copyblogger.fm. And I also like to throw in additional links, show notes, other goodies that will help make these sessions a little more useful to you. Thank you so much for your time and your attention. Talk to you soon.